"He's going to be fine," Dean told Sam firmly, later the next day. Sam nodded from the passenger side of the Impala. Dean slid behind the wheel and pulled out of the parking lot. The cute and chatty nurse was more than happy to tell me everything I wanted to know about her very colorful patient, Mr. Hoskell. This wasn't his first heart attack, and since it didn't kill him, it probably won't be his last. They're going to keep him a couple of days to run some tests and give him a few more monotonous lectures on the dangers of red meat, and then they're going to send him home. He's going to be fine, you know, for a while. "Thanks for checking on him for me," Sam said absently. "I wasn't getting anywhere on the phone." "I would have checked on him anyway. I'm not in the business of killing hunters as a general rule. I would like to kill hunters, but at the end of the day, that just makes my job harder and my life more uncomfortable." Sam let the familiar rumble of the car fill the silence between them for a few minutes. "You told him you were a vampire," he finally said. "I wanted him scared. Not that scared," Dean grimaced, "but scared enough to talk to us. Bad luck he had a crappy ticker." "I thought it was a big, dark secret." "What?" Dean shot him a look. "That there are vampires out there? We took out his security system before he got there. He doesn't have any pictures of me, and he doesn't know I'm any different from any other bloodsucker. It's fine. Not like it's going to hurt your reputation any," he added pointedly. "That's fair enough. It's not like I can be any more damned in their eyes than I already am, I guess. But they think I have demon blood?" Sam repeated for what felt like the thousandth time, while Dean maneuvered the Impala through the heavy afternoon traffic. The vampire was squinting in the sunlight and kept tugging his sleeves down, as if it was irritating his skin. He'd insisted on driving, though, claimed he wasn't in any actual danger. Certainly less than he would be in if Sam was trying to drive in his preoccupied state. Why would they even think that? I mean, how would that even be possible? Dean sighed with annoyance and cut off an ancient VW bus that seemed confused about the difference between the carpool lane and the passing lane. He flashed an inviting smile at a convertible full of teenage girls zipping past on the left. Sam hit him hard on the shoulder. The vampire glared at him. "What the hell did he mean that I have demon blood?" "I have no idea, Sam. If I did, believe that I would have told you maybe the 300th or 400th time you asked. You want to hole up around here and wait for Hoskell to get out of the hospital and ask him for some details to go with his dramatic little statement?" "No," Sam said decisively. "I'm done playing games. I'm going to South Dakota and getting some fucking answers out of Bobby Singer if I have to beat them out." "Finally, a good plan. Drive and shifts?" "Yeah, but not yet." Sam gave Dean a sidelong look that was hard to interpret. "Find a motel room. I owe you some blood, and we could both use some rest." "I'm good to drive for a while if you want to get going. This isn't my favorite time to be on the road, but I can manage." Sam shook his head. "Let's just stop." "You know," Dean said after a few minutes when Sam had returned to brooding silence, "the old man could just have been full of shit. There's nothing to say you have demon anything in you, and even if you do, it doesn't change who you are." Sam just shook his head again and didn't reply. When Dean finally pulled into an anonymous motel that met his exacting standards of not an obvious fire trap and sheets are probably washed, Sam just waved off any questions about room preferences. After checking in, Dean pulled the car around to the back of the building, and they made their way into the standard two-bed, ground floor, Hold the Roach's room that would have fit neatly into any roadside dive. Maybe without the garish yellow and green swirled wallpaper or the odd statue of what was probably a dolphin bolted to the top of the television, but local color and all that. Sam spent some time in the shower debating a new approach to life, since his old one apparently didn't work at all, and this approach was more about living in the moment and taking chances, taking one chance in particular. A sudden fit of doubt kept him under the water longer than he had planned, second-guessing himself and making excuses. But he finally gathered his nerve, pulled only his boxers on, and strode out to face the problem head-on. The problem in question was still fully dressed, lying back on one of the beds with his boots kicked up on the comforter, watching something that seemed to heavily feature squirrels.
"Going to put your clothes on?"
Dean asked absently, using a knee to nudge Sam's bag helpfully closer to the edge of the bed.
"I wasn't sure it was going to be necessary," Sam said slowly.
That got all of Dean's attention. The vampire clicked off the TV and swung his legs over the side of the bed, sitting up.
"Come again?"
"You turned me down before because you said I wasn't in shape to be making the offer. I wasn't nice about it, but you were right."
Sam licked his lips nervously.
"I'm not messed up like that now, and if you're still interested, I think I am too. To try it, anyways. At least once."
"It?"
Dean raised an eyebrow.
"Sex."
Sam glared, resisting the urge to cross his arms or retract the offer. The vampire took his time looking Sam over until the hunter felt himself blushing to his hairline and wished he had crawled under the sheets before making the offer. Or not made it at all. The boxers, especially over his damp skin, didn't do much for modesty. Sam wasn't ashamed of anything he had, but he wasn't used to being appraised quite so openly either, certainly not by another guy.
"Okay,"
Dean shrugged. Sam blinked at the abruptness. "That's it?"
"Well, I don't know why I should be arguing here exactly."
Dean stood up and stepped into Sam's space, causing the hunter to back up until his legs hit the mattress and he sat down on the edge.
"I've made no secret of my inclinations towards you. The problems from before aren't really an issue now. You seem healthy enough to me. So if you want to have sex, great. Let's go for it."
Good then. What do you want to do?" Sam asked, hating his own uncertainty and the unfamiliarity of the ground. Dean didn't seem to have any such trouble.
"I'm hungry."
The vampire traced his fingers over Sam's collarbone, the light touch raising goosebumps over Sam's skin.
"I want to make you all shaky and sweet with pleasure, then sink my teeth in somewhere tender and swallow all that richness down."
He stepped back, smiling when Sam leaned instinctively forward, following his hand, then raised his gaze to meet Sam's wide-eyed stare, pupils starting to expand with arousal.
"Why?" Dean asked casually. "What did you want to do?"
Sam swallowed.
"Your plan sounds good." "I thought you might like it."
Dean's confidence was a good balm to Sam's hesitancy. At least he seemed to know what the hell he was doing.
"Scoot back up on the bed a little then. Feet on the floor, knees apart."
Sam followed directions obediently, laying flat and bemused as he reminded himself sternly that life was an adventure. He jerked back to attention and propped himself up on his elbows, startled, when hands landed gently on his knees, then slid up until they rested on the inside of his thighs. Dean was kneeling between his legs, watching him intently. When Sam didn't say or do anything except watch him back, Dean's lips curved into an inviting smile, and he let his hands continue sliding up and over until they lay against the skin of Sam's waist. Sam imagined he could feel Dean's breath through the thin fabric between them. "Wait," Sam said, a knee-jerk reaction when Dean curled his fingers under the waistband. Dean stopped, holding Sam's gaze, poised as if he could wait like that forever. But Sam couldn't watch what happened next, and couldn't wait any longer. He slid his arms out until he was flat on his back again, staring up at the cracks in the ceiling. It was somehow easier when he couldn't see Dean's face. "Okay." There was a chuckle from below. "Does not looking at me make it easier to think of me as a girl?" Strong hands flexed on his waist as if in reminder. "No, I just..." "Relax, it's okay." Dean sounded amused rather than offended, and that eased a little more tension out of Sam's muscles. Calloused fingers hooked into the waistband of his boxers and slid them down and off Sam's feet, exposing his half-hard cock to Dean's view. The vampire pushed at Sam's knees to get him to slide them further apart and moved in closer.
"Still okay up there?"
"Yeah," Sam muttered, starting to feel embarrassed for entirely different reasons. There was a pretty attractive guy on his knees between Sam's legs, who didn't seem to want anything but to give him a blowjob, and Sam was making him work for it. After opening the door for the entire mess in the first place.
"Good," Dean said. "Keep your hands on the bed. If you move them, I'll stop."
That was the only warning Sam got before a hot, wet tongue licked a broad path up the side of his cock. He shuddered hard and heard another chuckle from between his knees. Dean blew across his wet skin, causing another shiver to ripple through Sam's body.
"You're easy."
"I haven't gotten out much lately," Sam muttered. Dean snorted his opinion of that, then, with no warning, swallowed Sam to the root. The tight heat and suction caused Sam to bite his lip bloody and clench his hands so hard in the sheets he thought he felt them rip. Dean let the shaft slide out of his mouth slowly, swirling his tongue around the head before pulling back entirely.
"How is that?"
he asked in a rough but pleased voice. Sam had the horrible suspicion Dean was grinning. He tried frantically to figure out what he could say that would make him continue, but all of his thought processes seemed focused on the swollen heat between his legs.
"I would say we should talk about our relationship now,"
the vampire commented thoughtfully. Sam made a choked sound and struggled to sit up.
"But," Dean continued, and damn him,
Sam was pretty sure he was grinning now.
"I suppose I'll take pity on you, seeing as it's been a while and all. Settle back down if you want me to continue."
Sam sank back onto the mattress, his cock still aching, but his mind a little clearer. That lasted until Dean raked his short nails lightly over Sam's thighs, shoved them open a little wider, and settled back to work with the apparent goal of frying what brain cells Sam still had functioning. For long minutes, the only noise in the room was the whir of the air conditioner, the soft, wet noises of Dean hard at work, and Sam's faint, involuntary gasps.
"Soon,"
Sam finally got out, distantly amazed he was still making sense, but vaguely aware there were manners to mind.
"You need to move soon."
Dean's hands tightened on Sam's hips, and he swallowed harder, the muscles of his throat massaging the head of Sam's cock until Sam felt the world white out for a moment with the force of his orgasm. Things refocused in a pleasant, boneless haze. He was dimly aware of Dean cleaning him with easy swipes of his tongue, then moving his attention to the delicate skin high on the inside of Sam's thigh. Sam's leg jerked in Dean's grip, and he hissed, startled, when the sharp sting of Dean's teeth cut through some of the buzz. Dean pulled his mouth away from Sam's leg long enough to mutter, "Chill out, enjoy the afterglow." Then he settled his mouth back over the bite and ran his tongue across the wound, seemingly happy to lavish the same sort of attention on Sam's thigh as he had been giving to Sam's cock only minutes earlier. Sam didn't know why he was objecting, and let his leg relax again in Dean's grip. With the sting of the bite eased somewhat, the gentle sucking was actually not unpleasant, and the sensations it was causing to ripple through his body were not unpleasant, even still coming down as he was. "I'm just going to close my eyes for a little bit," Sam mumbled a few minutes later, when the post-orgasm lethargy seemed to be deepening and Dean showed no real interest in releasing his leg anytime soon. Sam stirred awake when the moon was high and the city around them slept. He was still naked, tangled in the sheets. He started to turn over, but movement caused the band-aid on his thigh to pull, and he settled back, not interested enough to mess with it. The bathroom light was on, though the door was closed, causing weird shadows in the room. When the mattress shifted, Sam looked up to see Dean sitting against the headboard. He was still fully dressed, his booted feet stretched out on the crisp whiteness of the bedsheets, just sitting in the dim light, looking down at Sam. His face was expressionless, and it was too dark to see what was in his eyes. "Can you taste it in me?" Sam asked softly. "The demon blood?"
"Go back to sleep, Sam."
Things seemed as normal as they ever were when they left before dawn the next day. They didn't talk about the night before, though Dean was maybe a little less respectful than usual of Sam's personal space. They tossed what little they had carried into the motel room, into the Impala, and headed north again. Dawn was starting to crust the edge of the horizon when Dean finally pulled off the road and into a pitted parking lot. Sam raised his head and looked around from the road map he'd been studying. He generally knew the way to Bobby's house blind and in the dark, but less so with major interstate chunks closed for construction.
"What are we doing here?" he asked as Dean climbed out of the car and stretched.
"Feeding you. I hear a diet of soda crackers and gas station food isn't good for people, especially not ones donating blood and sleeping like crap."
Sam pulled the door open and took a moment to work travel kinks out of his own spine. "I sleep fine." Dean just shot him a look and led the way towards the front doors. He started to say something when a woman stepped out of the diner and brushed past them. The vampire paused with his mouth open, then he looked thoughtful and turned around, watching as she walked away. "Dean?" Sam asked curiously.
"Hold that thought."
The vampire moved so fast he was a blur, and in the next second he was dragging the woman around the corner into the darkness of an overgrowth of bushes. Sam looked around to make sure no one else had noticed and hurried after them. The sodium lights of the parking lot were just bright enough to let Sam make out the tableau. Dean knelt on the woman's back with his knee digging into her spine and her arms twisted up behind her. Sam was about to demand to know what the hell was going on when he abruptly noticed that the vampire was having to strain to hold her down.
"What the hell, Dean?"
"Look what I found, Sam," Dean gritted out against the struggle. Free-range demon. Think there's a market?
Let me go, or I'll sear the skin from your bones, human, spat the writhing figure in the leaves.
Huh. If you think I'm human, lady, you aren't paying much attention, Dean retorted.
Sam distinctly heard the pop of tendons in her shoulder as Dean changed his grip.
My mistake, vampire, she sneered, the injury making no visible impact on her at all.
I missed the reek of death on you for a moment.
Dean snorted, tightening his hold even more. I am surprised you could make it out over your own.
We need to get it away from here, Sam hissed, looking around to see how close he could pull the car up. The woman ceased struggling.
You have the puppet with you. How charming. Are you doing well, puppet? All strong and healthy for your master?
Dean looked up at Sam, but his question was for the demon beneath him.
And what do you know about that, bitch?
She laughed, and it was high and shrill, grating on Sam's bones.
I know all about his plans for his puppet, and such big plans they are. Plans to set right what's been so long wrong. Put our true master back on his throne.
You take care of the puppet, vampire. We'll be wanting him back in one piece when it's time. Before either of them could ask her another question, the body beneath the vampire gave a sharp jerk, and then black smoke was billowing out of its mouth. In seconds, the smoke was gone, leaving the air reeking with sulfur and the vampire kneeling on a battered corpse. They stared at each other for a moment, shocked. Then Sam swallowed hard, and his face fell into grim lines.
I have to get to South Dakota.
Dean nodded and followed him silently back to the car. Singer Salvage was exactly as Sam remembered it when the Impala ghosted into the yard. The moon was high overhead, and the house sat bathed in the silvery light, surrounded on all sides by piles of rusting scrap and bare dirt. Dean stopped some distance from the house and switched off the ignition. He rested his hands on the wheel and looked over at where Sam sat, gazing absently out at the yard of the closest place he'd ever had to a home. In the kitchen window, a single light was burning.
You want me to do this? The vampire asked finally.
No. I need to do this.
You want me to come with you at least?
Sam hesitated, and Dean continued.
Singer is one of the hubs in the Hunter Network. He's going to know what happened at Haskell's place by now. I'm not a secret.
Come on, then, Sam said. But this is my show.
Hey, I don't work when I don't have to.
Which reminds me, don't you have a job you're supposed to be doing? Sam asked as he climbed out of the car. Dean shrugged and closed his own door.
A job finds me when it needs doing. I've got a sixth sense for where I need to be. It's a vampire thing for those in my line of work. Right now, I still have some time to spend helping you out. That could change at any moment.
How much notice do you get? Sam asked as they quietly walked towards the house.
It starts like an itch in the back of my mind. Then the itch turns into a problem. I don't like problems, Sam. They complicate my life. I find them less complicating at the bottom of dry wells or abandoned mine shafts. Staked and set on fire has also proved to be a good solution. He nodded at the house. Speaking of which, do you know how you're going to handle this?
Sam shrugged. He'd considered and discarded half a dozen plans during the long drive north, finally setting on the direct approach as the most likely to be productive.
I'm just going to tell him what I know, and then suggest he fill in the blanks, ideally while you loom ominously in the background. This is the guy who helped raise you? Dean asked with a raised eyebrow.
Sam's jaw set. He's keeping secrets that are going to get me killed, and he hung me out to dry. Bobby's gotten all the free passes from me that he's entitled to.
Let's do this, then.
They climbed the low steps to the porch, the worn wood creaking under Sam's weight while the vampire ghosted silently behind him. It was 3 in the morning, but Sam didn't think Bobby was asleep. He was proven right when the door opened on his second knock. They stood there a moment, just looking at each other. Then Bobby's gaze drifted over his shoulder to where Dean was lurking. After a moment, Bobby sighed and stepped back.
Well, I suppose you should come in.
The kitchen was exactly as Sam remembered it. If there was one place in Sam's life he had thought of as home other than the Impala, it was this room in Bobby's house. Where some people's childhood memories of the kitchen included the smells of baking bread and family dinners, Sam's was filled with gun oil and the clatter of beer bottles. But it was still safety and innocence and a world that made sense. He wished they could have done this anywhere else.
"You want a drink?" Bobby asked gruffly.
"Sure."
"None for me."
Dean leaned against the wall, arms crossed casually.
"I've already had one."
Bobby shot the vampire a dark look and slid a bottle across the table to Sam. Sam popped the cap off and took a long swig. When he had swallowed and set the bottle back down, Bobby sighed and sank into the rickety wooden chair across the table from him.
"Why the vampire, Sam?"
"How's Haskell?" Sam asked instead of trying to answer.
"Better before you two scared him into another heart attack," Bobby snorted. "But he'll live."
Sam was relieved, despite himself. He'd never wanted to hurt anybody. He just wanted them to stop trying to hurt him. "The vampire's with me. Our deal has nothing to do with tonight's business, so long as this stays friendly. Consider him wallpaper."
"What do you want?"
Sam slammed the bottle down. "Damn it, Bobby, I want the same thing I wanted last time. I want to know what the big secret is. Why I've always been on the outside. Why the hell people think I killed Pastor Jim and slaughtered those hunters who grabbed me in Oklahoma. Why they grabbed me in the first place." Bobby took his own drink, gaze shifting to the window over the sink as if there were some kind of answers there.
"What do you know?"
"I ran into a demon who called me a puppet and said its master had plans for me. World-ending plans, Bobby. And Haskell didn't tell me much, but he said I had demon blood. Also, with no explanation, of course. I've tried to reach my dad, and I only hope he's still alive, because I haven't heard from him in forever. I have to know what's going on, Bobby. Whatever's going on, it's gone way too far already."
Bobby nodded slowly. "Yeah, I suppose it has. John should have been the one to have this talk with you. I told him that, back when you were learning the trade, before you went off to Stanford and he started walking darker roads. I warned him that if you weren't told, it was going to come back to bite us all in the ass. Jim, though."
Bobby paused to take another long pull of his beer.
"He argued against me. And in the end, your dad took his advice. It was easier for him, I suppose. Jim thought it would mess you up, you see. Said that once you knew, it would open something in your mind and heart that would be better left shut. And John was afraid that was true. That if you knew, you would go chasing after things you had no business chasing. He was wavering there for a while. I told him that if you didn't know, you couldn't be prepared for what you might be facing. I thought I had him swayed, but then you lit off for college, and he shut down again. He didn't like the betrayal much, you recall. But once he thought it over, he decided that it was probably the best place for you, after all, and it freed him up to do what he'd wanted all along anyways."
"What was that?" Sam asked in a low voice.
"Go after the thing that killed Mary, of course.
A demon killed my mother. You can't track them. They just show up and vanish.
Yeah, Bobby leaned back in his chair. That isn't exactly true. But that's John's problem and obsession. That's not what you're here for tonight.
No, Sam growled, but we might get back around to that.
Not tonight. You can ask your dad about what he's been up to next time you see him. And you already know the answer to your question. Garrett told you before he collapsed. You've got demon blood in your veins.
Bobby threw back the last of his beer.
How?
Dean asked quietly before Sam could stutter out one of the thousand questions he had. Bobby ignored Dean completely.
What do you know about your mom's death, Sam?
Sam's brow furrowed.
My dad heard a scream. He ran upstairs and she was pinned on the ceiling, bleeding. The entire room was on fire. He was barely able to grab me before he was forced out. That's it, all he ever said.
Bobby nodded, not looking surprised.
He left out an important part. When he ran into the room, the demon was dripping blood into your mouth. It kept him pinned against the wall until it was done. Then it handed you to him and told him to keep you safe because it had plans for you. It vanished, and John barely got out before the room exploded.
Sam was left speechless, so Bobby shrugged a little and continued.
He wandered around for a while, out of his head with grief and rage. Eventually, he ran into Jim. Jim put him in contact with some hunters, and the rest, as they say, is history. A few people got the story, back when your dad was still blissfully ignorant of what's lurking out in the shadows. He shut up soon enough when he was able to grasp the real implications of what the demon had done. But by then, the rumors were already spreading. Not sure there are many out there who know the truth anymore, but hunters risk their lives on the information they trade with each other. Once a hunter doesn't trust you, and there's some cause behind it, that spreads like a wave. Jim dying and what happened in that basement were the last straws.
Bobby, I didn't have anything to do with that. I'll swear on anything you want. They grabbed me in Oklahoma because of Jim?
Partially, though that was mostly Gordon's doing.
What does Gordon have to do with this? Sam growled.
He started sniffing around you after your little fist fight. I don't know if he already knew about your connection with the demons, or if he found that out later, but he heard about Jim's death and started trying to stir up a witch hunt. Those hunters in Oklahoma were friends of his. They heard you'd volunteered to go after the grimoire, and it sent up some red flags. I told them to park their asses and leave you alone, but then they grabbed you anyways, and before I could find out where they'd stashed you and try to get you out. Well, you know what happened.
Yeah, Sam was lost in thought, trying to fit the new information into his worldview.
I know.
Bobby got up and grabbed another couple of beers out of the fridge. He popped the caps off on the counter and slid another across the table to Sam.
Here, this one's without the holy water.
Dean snorted derisively from his place against the wall. Bobby shot him an irritated look, but didn't say anything.
Thanks. Sam picked at the label on his bottle, missing the exchange.
What do the demons want with me?
Bobby heaved a sigh. I don't know, Sam. I don't think anyone does but the demons themselves. Maybe John does by now, but if so, he ain't talking.
Do you know where his dad is? Dean asked.
I thought you were wallpaper, Bobby snapped. You see that paisley over the sink contributing to this conversation, Annie?
The vampire's eyes narrowed and he straightened up menacingly. Bobby looked unimpressed. Sam held a hand up before something stupid could happen.
Guys, I've got enough problems. Please.
Dean resettled himself, still glowering.
I can't tell you anything else, Sam. Last I heard from John was a few months back. He was off in Russia doing some research. Said he'd be in touch when he got in touch. You know your dad.
Yeah, I know my dad. Fuck. Sam rubbed at his face. Dean shifted against the wall.
You going to send a pack of your dogs after us when we leave?
Bobby looked like he'd aged 10 years since he'd met them at the door.
Not this time. No promises about the next. Sam, I want to believe you. I really do, kid. But there's no precedent for this. You might even be telling the truth, but if you have demon blood in your veins, they might be able to use you for things and you not even have any idea. We don't know what they want you for and what they can use you for.
He shook his head.
The best thing you can do for yourself is get out of this life. Go find a 9-to-5 job somewhere in the daylight world and leave anything to do with hunting alone.
Sam leaned forward until he could rest his elbows easily on his knees and met Bobby's eyes.
Do you think that will stop people from coming after me? Stop the demons who want to use me? If you walk away, it's going to be harder for the diehards to drum up anyone against you. Maybe you should think about options elsewhere. I hear Western Europe's a nice place to live. And there's not many people likely to follow you there. See if you can lay low, disappear. As for the demons, I don't know what to tell you about that.
Sam nodded and stood up. He'd gotten the answers he'd been looking for. It wasn't Bobby's fault, they only led to more questions.
Thanks, Bobby.
Don't thank me, Sam. Just stay away. And watch your ass.
Sam took the keys back from Dean and kept silent as he pulled the Impala out of the yard and back onto the main road.
Can we head southeast? Dean asked.
Sam nodded and picked his way in that direction for the next few hours, sometimes on highways and sometimes on back roads. Dawn was cresting again before he pulled into a suitably anonymous motel. The room was much like the one they had shared the previous night, and Sam, without driving to keep him particularly distracted, paced the mottled carpet, trying to figure out the ramifications of what he had learned. Dean let him pace and brood for a while, then grew bored with the entertainment, grabbed Sam by the belt loops and hauled him down onto one of the beds.
"Let me go," Sam fought to free himself. "Let go."
Dean tolerated the struggle for a few minutes, until Sam landed a lucky punch, and Dean's patience came to an abrupt end. He gave Sam a sharp shake and pinned him effortlessly to the bed.
"Stop it. I've been nice and I've been patient, but the only thing you're going to accomplish winding yourself up like this is to get sick. I would find that inconvenient."
He licked a broad stripe across the back of Sam's neck, and felt Sam still beneath him.
"You know how I feel about inconvenient. Besides, if it's just nervous energy you need to burn, I think we can find a better way to handle it."
When Sam didn't renew his struggle, Dean slowly sat up. Free of the weight, Sam lay flat for another moment or two, gathering himself, then rolled over to face him.
"So this better way... am I going to like it?"
"You liked it well enough the other night,"
Dean said, as he pulled his shirt off over his head and kicked free of his boots. Sam followed the motion with interest, more than willing to be distracted for a good cause.
"Another round of the same thing?"
Dean raised an eyebrow.
"I thought we might try something a little more adventurous."
"How adventurous?"
Sam asked warily, sitting up to untie his own shoes. Dean took advantage of Sam's distraction to pin him down again, this time flat on his back. The vampire's smile was infectious, and Sam felt his dark mood sliding into something more malleable.
"Touch me," Dean ordered, fingers making quick work of the buttons on Sam's shirt.
Sam gingerly slid his hands over the smooth muscles of the vampire's back. His skin wasn't really cold, just cooler than Sam was used to. It felt silky under the rough pads of Sam's fingers as he ran hands down to the worn denim around Dean's waist. He let them rest there a bit awkwardly, waiting for more instruction.
"You want an engraved invitation?"
"I don't know what you like." Dean rolled his eyes and pushed up so he could get at the front of Sam's pants.
"I like you to touch me. If you do something I don't like, I'll be sure to let you know."
"That's helpful, thanks." Dean ignored his sarcasm, tugging down the zipper of Sam's jeans, and rolled onto his back beside him.
"You want instructions? Get my jeans off."
He tucked his hands under his head and gave Sam an expectant look. Sam sat up and reached obediently for the button.
"Not that way. Use your mouth."
"Are you serious?" The vampire shrugged.
"I just wanted to be touched. If I have to give directions, I'm going to make it interesting."
Sam eyed the jeans. "You have a button fly?"
"Mm-hmm. Lots of practice for you."
Sam glowered at him, but leaned over to work gingerly at the worn cotton lying flush against the flat plane of Dean's lower stomach. His nose brushed against the cool skin as he eased the buttons free with his teeth and tongue. He worked at the task for a few minutes, the only sound in the room cars passing outside and the indistinct murmur of televisions through the paper-thin walls. As Sam reached the bottom of the row, he was suddenly aware of the swollen flesh laying just a layer of cloth away. He undid the last button, then pressed his mouth against the denim and exhaled warmly into the fabric, mouthing gently. He heard a muttered curse from above, and then strong hands were tugging at him until he lay alongside Dean again.
"Don't start things you aren't prepared to finish,"
the vampire growled at him, before taking his mouth in a hungry kiss. Sam was breathless by the time he was released, tasting blood from nicking his tongue on a fang.
"Who says I'm not prepared to finish it?" he challenged. "The way you couldn't even watch me blow you the other night. I have trouble believing you've progressed from blushing mortification to going down on a guy yourself in the day or so since."
Dean nuzzled in beneath Sam's ear, licking at his skin even as a hand slipped beneath the waistband of Sam's boxers and into the warm heat between his legs.
"A lot of things have changed since then, in case you didn't notice."
Sam was having trouble keeping his train of thought focused.
"Maybe, but some things remain the same, and the rest can wait until tomorrow."
Dean punctured his sentence by twisting the fingers of his free hand into Sam's hair and pulling his head back to bare the clean line of his throat. Sam hissed in pain but didn't resist Dean's hold or the stinging bite that followed. He bucked his hips into the hand, working his dick with firm, knowing strokes. Whatever Dean was trying to make him feel was worlds away from the languid pleasure Sam had grown used to. This was a fiery sunburst against the pale blush of what had come before, and he wrapped his arms around Dean on thinking, trying to pull him closer than flesh while new sensations built into something overwhelming in his mind. At some point, thought deserted him entirely, and Sam lay shuddering helplessly under the onslaught of the physical and the mystical until the feeling crested and swept him over the edge. For a while afterwards, Sam just lay there, trying to hang on to the strange, lassitudinal mix of calm and euphoria left in the wake of having his mind utterly blown. Dean was still pressed against his side, licking gently over the puncture wounds.
It took Sam a few tries to find his voice.
Do you want me to...
His arm felt somewhat disconnected still, but he patted at Dean's hip, offering to return the favor, or as much of it as he could from his purely human vantage. Dean reached over Sam to grab a cloth from the nightstand. He pressed it to the wounds in Sam's throat and sat cross-legged beside him.
No need. I got my own fun riding the taste of that rolling through your body. Blood is better than sex alone, but blood and sex together is the best way to fly.
It gets even better with practice, Dean added thoughtfully after a moment. Sam closed his eyes.
I'm not sure I can handle much better than that.
Dean traced an idle finger around one of Sam's nipples. It tightened under his touch, and he heard Sam's breath hitch.
We'll have to continue this line of experimentation. We've barely started to explore what I can make you feel.
All good, I hope. Sam opened his eyes and looked up. The vampire smiled, eyes glittering.
As long as you enjoy it, do you care?
When Sam didn't have an answer to that, Dean slid off the bed and stretched.
Go take a shower, he suggested. I need to think for a while.
Sam, aware suddenly of the mess in his boxers and the drying sweat on his skin, grimaced and complied. When Sam walked out of the bathroom, Dean was sitting on the other bed, staring at the curtain-covered window. He looked over and watched as Sam dressed in the loose clothing he preferred for sleeping.
What are you going to do? Dean asked quietly.
Sam didn't pretend to misunderstand the question. It had been preying on him since they had left Bobby's hours earlier. Minor distractions aside.
I don't know. I don't know that there's anything I can do.
You could come with me. Sam smiled wryly as he hit the lights and slid under the sheets on the far side of the bed Dean was perched on.
Go with you. Hang out with your super-secret vampire buddies and hunt down disobedient little vampires. I bet they would love that, you keeping a hunter as a pet.
You wouldn't be a pet. There was a quality to Dean's stillness that Sam hadn't ever felt before. A seriousness to his voice that sent a shiver up Sam's spine, like a portent of something unknown.
What would I be, then?
You would be mine. In all ways, you would be mine. One of us, forever. Sam drew in a sharp breath.
Dean?
The demons can't use you if you're no part of them, Sam. If you were one of us, there wouldn't be any demon blood in your veins. Whatever plans they have for you would fall apart before the weight of your different nature. We come from humanity and we mimic humanity, but at the end of the day, it is just a mimicry. Their polarities, heaven and hell. To be one of us is to sidestep all of that. You would be free.
Just like that? Sam asked, with a touch of bitterness. A few drops of your blood and everything would just go away? Be better?
No. We aren't like that. We aren't like them, the others that you hunt. It doesn't take a few drops. It takes an ocean and time. Sometimes 10 years, sometimes more. It's not an easy path, and we offer to... So very few, Sam. Even among those who choose to walk it, not all survive. As for the better, only time can tell you that.
10 years or more to become a vampire?
Dean nodded, eyes dark in the soft streetlights that the curtains didn't block.
To become one like me, yes. There are no accidents or casual creations among my people.
Sam shifted so he could see Dean better.
Have you done it before? Made someone like you?
Once. A long time ago.
What happened?
Dean sighed, the sheets rustling as he moved.
I don't actually drink much human blood, Sam. We don't need it to survive. Animal blood is sufficient for life. What human blood gives us is power, speed, strength, other things harder to define. But that power comes at a cost. The more we drink, the stronger we are, and the more drawbacks we have to overcome. At the farthest end of our power range, we can sway the politics of entire regions, start wars, and stop them. But wielding that influence makes us virtual prisoners in dungeons of our making. Even the few mouthfuls I've had from you this week will make the sunlight something that sucks for a while. Not immolation bad, but uncomfortable. A few more of these snacks without some downtime, and I might not be able to tolerate it at all. Crossing rivers could be difficult. Other issues could crop up. What does that have to do with you turning someone else?
I loved her, Dean said simply. I offered her this chance because the life she was trapped in was small and unworthy of her. I wanted her to be able to live a larger existence, to live it with me. But part of the journey from where you are to here is to experience every facet of the drawbacks to our existence, and do it all without even the thinnest margin of the power that normally makes up for the misery. It starts slowly, a couple of years in, and then it gets worse and worse, until finally the transformation is complete, and you can make the decision of how much you care to endure.
It killed her?
No.
Dean's voice was as cold as a winter's night. She was close. She would have survived. Hunters killed her. Humans who came upon her when she was at her weakest point, asleep and helpless in the deep caverns where we lived. I had to hunt. I had to leave her there alone. Someone undergoing transformation feeds only from their creator, and they feed deeply and often. She couldn't travel with me, and so she died. The grief in Dean's voice for a woman probably hundreds of years dead made Sam's heart ache. I'm sorry, he whispered.
You didn't have anything to do with it.
That doesn't make your pain any less. There was a heavy silence in the darkness for a while. Sam finally sighed. I can't give you an answer right now.
I know.
What you're asking? Offering?
I know, Sam. I didn't expect you to throw yourself into it with open arms. I'm not demanding anything from you. I just wanted you to know that you have options, if you choose to exercise them.
Sam nodded, knowing the vampire could see him clearly in the shadowy room. Silence fell between them again, but it was hours before Sam slept.
Who are you calling?
Sam asked muzzily the next morning, when he was woken by the low murmur of Dean talking to someone on his cell phone.
A cab.
Why? Sam was suddenly alert, sitting up in a slide of sheets and rubbing sleep out of his eyes. Dean pulled his boots on and bent to do up the laces.
I told you I had to go when I had to go, and that it might crop up suddenly. This isn't a job I can ignore any more than you can ignore yours when you're on a hunt. I'll catch up with you as soon as I can. If you want me to, that is.
Sam climbed out of bed and started stuffing things back into his duffel bag, stifling a yawn.
Don't bother with the cab. You going to give me a ride to the airport?
Dean raised an eyebrow.
Unless you have an objection, I thought I would tag along for a while. We can just drive to wherever you need to be.
Dean frowned at him.
Seriously? Because I'm not going to say no. I'd rather pull my fingernails off than fly.
Sam nodded and paused with a dirty shirt in his hand, trying to remember when the last time he did laundry was.
Yeah, it's not like I can really do anything else right now. I don't think the hunters can tell me more than Bobby did. And if there are any more hidden secrets about this, I haven't ferreted out yet. They can just stay hidden until I've wrapped my mind around what I've already learned. I don't know how to go about hunting a demon, much less interrogating one. And I'm not sure I should do it even if I did. I think my dad was right. Not about keeping it from me, but about what I would do, it being a stupid thing. And I can't actually find my dad, so...
So tagging along with a vampire is your next best option?
Sam shrugged. The corner of Dean's mouth edged into a smile.
Okay.
Okay, I can come?
Why not? It might be interesting to do this with a partner.
Sam changed into his street clothes quickly and shoved the last of his belongings into his bag.
You don't usually work with others? You had a few with you when we first met.
This is generally a pretty solo gig. That was a huge nest, and we were aiming to ash the entire place, so I called in some backup to make sure nothing went south. As it happened, you were the only loose end that needed cleaning.
And you certainly didn't have any trouble with me, Sam remembered darkly.
Nope, Dean agreed. You made things easy.
And look how nicely it's turned out.
He shouldered his own bag.
Ready to go?
Just let me brush my teeth. Where are we heading?
Louisiana. Land of endless swamps, gators, and Cajun rednecks.
Somehow I think they might have more than that down there.
Not where we're going.